When Jesus comes, He comes seeking for the true worshipers that would worship God in spirit and in truth. He will not accept anything less, amen, than the spirit of just men made perfect. Amen. And therefore, if your spirit is made perfect, then you can come and bring an offering of praise that is acceptable unto God. Because you must worship in spirit. Therefore, your spirit must be made perfect in order for the offering and the sacrifice to be acceptable before God. Amen. Must be. Must be. Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Remember, the Lord swore and will not repent. Amen. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the Bible talks about how that He is the surety of a better testament. And it was established upon better promises. And thank God for it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. What kind of way? A living way. The way of life. Jesus said, behold, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, nowhere, cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. There is no other way. You know, and you know who hates that? It's religious people who hate that. Hey, what do you think Brother Stair was hitting on this morning? When he was on the broadcast earlier. Even before service. It was the religious and it was the envy. And I'm going to deal with the spirit of envy just a little bit. Because religious people are envious. They're full of envy and hate. Yes, they are. Amen. It's just right there and I'm going to get into it. Amen. Verse number 21. But thank be to God, we have a living way. Verse 21. And have an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, amen, by the blood of sprinkling, and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now go down to verse 34. You know, in the book of Hebrews, he's constantly contrasting the old versus the new. The glory of the new, the betterness of the new, the power of the new, the strength of the new, the ability of the new, and what it could accomplish that the old never could accomplish. Amen. And God said, I desire this, but since I can't get it from that, I'm going to have to get it from this. Amen. He desired that perfection, that purity, that holiness. Amen. And Paul Fallow made the statement, the law couldn't do it. Could not do it. Amen. Could never make the comers thereunto perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. It is a done, did deal. Amen. It is a done, did deal. For by one offering He hath perfected forever all those who are sanctified. If that's not a done, did deal, I don't know what a done, did deal is. Amen. That's a done did deal. Amen. You are complete in Him. And don't let nobody spoil you through a bunch of philosophy and vain deceit. Amen. Don't go anywhere. Hey, they want to chop off Christ from His people. I'm going to get into that a little bit. And then he goes on and says, go down to verse number 34. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Wow. Are we going to do that? Woo. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while. Amen. Somebody preached on that, didn't they? Yet a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, that's what's been said from here. Amen. He is coming. Amen. Yet a little while. He is coming this generation. We've heard over. And He is coming. And just yet a little while. And he that come will come and will not tarry. Now verse 3. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back. You know what he's talking to? I'm telling you, you can read from Hebrews from beginning to end. He parallels, amen, he compares the old with the new. He says, if any man draws back to that old covenant, amen. Why? Because in the new, the just shall be lived by faith. Amen. He says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Why? Because God don't have pleasure. He said in sacrifice and burnt offering, he had no pleasure. It says it in Hebrews, another place. Amen. So if any man, Paul was saying, I'm going to be just like God. I'm going to have the heart of God. If they draw back, I'll have no pleasure in them. Why? Because God ain't going to have no pleasure in them. He said, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. And to go on Hebrews chapter 12, we believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. We believe to the saving of the soul. Thank God. Amen. Jesus, amen, has given us a conscience, having sprinkled from an evil conscience. Thank God for it. He's able to save our soul. He is the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. And we are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Amen. He watches for our soul. All souls are mine. The redemption of the soul is precious. 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 Yes, it is. And thanks be to God, we got a precious, precious cornerstone. Unto you who believe. To some of you, this is not precious today. Amen. Your religious spirit hates what I'm doing. That's all right. Pour out your hatred against me. You do it today. I have watched this. I've been schooled for this people. I have hit this spirit. And I'm going to get it. There's three things God has schooled me to deal with. And this is one today. So you pour it out. I have many people take a stand against me on this. And I've watched the trouble that has filled their soul. I've watched their spiritual life just leave. And a troubling spirit trouble them. Amen. Draw back. Amen. Yeah, I've hit it many times in the last 18 years. Still around. Still got a living way. The Word of God still burning in my soul. Spirit of God still pouring in my heart. I watch men in their trouble. Amen. So, it's all right. Hebrews chapter 12. I got a fountain. Amen. I'm eating at that altar. I told you we have an altar. Amen. I told you we have an altar to eat at where they have no right to eat. Which take care of the tabernacle. They just ain't got no right to eat at it. It's reserved for who? For the redeemed. For the blood washed. Amen. For those who by faith will enter into that which is within the veil. That's the only way to enter in. There is no other way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, which, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator our profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his, what? Birthright. See, the issue in Hebrews is the birthright issue. It's the birthright. Are you the one born after the flesh? Or are you the one that is born after the spirit? Because those that are born after the spirit are called the sons of God. And if sons, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so the issue is the birthright. Amen. And he warns about it. He said, if you fail of God's race, the reason you're going to fail is because you are going to sell your birthright. Amen. Now that God given you a right, amen, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. That's their birthright. Right there. That's their right. Being born of the Spirit. Amen. He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And we cry, what? Abba, Father. Thank God. We are the sons of God. He says, for when you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto Mount Sinai. Now, I read that scripture last night. He's just telling. Right, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter number 4. You know, if somebody poured me a nice glass of crystal clear, living, cool, refreshing water, I said, I want you to drink out of here. And there was an old glass of water here that had become stale and was decaying and waxing old, and a bunch of debris had fallen into it. Amen. And I would sit there and choose and insist that I want to drink this. I would be a rebellious person. No matter how much what I would say, I said, yeah, but you gave that to me. Yeah, I gave it to you, but I gave it to you before. And now I got something better over here to drink. And if I would keep on insisting to drink here, I would be full of rebellion. Rebellion of the highest order. Amen. And Paul makes that, he actually makes that statement in the same aspect where he's talking about them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's very best that he, you know, Jesus is coming back to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where he's going to take vengeance. And Galatians chapter 4 says this, verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. You understand what he's saying? You just about have lost your birthright. That's right. He's saying, I'm travailing in birth until Christ be formed. You've just about lost that birthright. You're doing something that is very close to where you're going to lose the birthright. He said, I'm travailing. He said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 24. You know, this is clear. I mean, I've had people try to twist it and turn it every which way. But verse 24 is just as clear can be. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. It's very simple. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. Now, let me ask you a question. Who made that covenant? God. Do you think God knew he was making it to gender to bondage? Hey, known unto God are all his ways from the beginning. When God made that covenant, he said, I'm going to make a covenant that, you know, gender means produces. This is going to produce bondage. And he had a purpose of why he did it. He had a purpose, but it genereth, in other words, produces. It brings forth bondage. For this is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Hey, the old Jew said, hey, we've never been in bondage. Jesus said, hey, the servant of sin's in bondage. He says, and you're the servant of sin. And God made sure, he made you a covenant of bondage. He made sure that he kept you in bondage, boy. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. And they didn't say, nah. They said, Abraham's our father. He said, hey, man, if you were Abraham's children, you'd know who I was. Hey, every one of Abraham's children know who Jesus Christ is. There's just no doubt about it. You just know who he is. Amen. Then he goes on. First one said, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Amen. What does it mean? There is no sin there. And there is no death there. Hey, there is no curse there. There is just life and immortality. Amen. There is righteousness. The scepter of thy kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. He is the king of Salem, which is the king of peace. We have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know why people lose their righteousness and peace and joy? They're no longer filled with the Holy Ghost. They start turning to everything. The Bible says be filled with the Bible says stir up the gift of God that is in you. I'm praying all week. Amen. Lord, stir up the gift of God, the different gifts of the Spirit in the lives of the brothers and the sisters. Amen. We need the spirit of counsel and the spirit of might. We need the spirit of wisdom and understanding. We need the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We need the spirit of judgment and justice. We need the gifts of the Spirit to operate. We need discernment of spirits and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. We need the gift of prophecy. We need it to work in our midst. And there are different ones that got different gifts. We need people that God speaks through in dream and vision to have their dream and vision. We need the preachers that preach the word to preach the word of God. But it all has to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit is given for everyone to be edified. It's to edify the body of Christ. But it all comes by the Spirit. It all comes through the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's given by the Holy Spirit. Not by the intellectual, intelligent mind. Amen. It's by the Spirit. You drink by the Spirit. Your mind will not do it. It just won't work. Verse 26. Jerusalem which is above is free. Which is the mother of us all. I like my mother. I got a good mother. Hearken unto thy mother. Hearken unto thy mother. Oh, there ain't no care like a mama's care. There ain't. Now, I talked about a daddy's love, and there ain't no love like a daddy's love. That's right. There really ain't. It's a certain type. But then again, there ain't no care like a mama's care. I lost a mama with the little children, boy. It's just precious. Amen. Just like a mother hen over a brood, you know what I'm saying? And thank God we have a mother. Amen. All those angels up there brooding over. Amen. And Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, he's up there. Amen. That's exactly right. It's watching over. That whole Jerusalem that's above. All of its resources are to watch over this church, to take care, to cover. All the ministries that God's given, why? To watch over that precious church. Why? As it's growing, as it's becoming that holy temple of God, to watch over. As that body is becoming to its maturity, it's all to watch over. Amen. That's what's being done. And so, hearken unto thy mother. Amen. Forsake not thy mother when she is old. See, this thing's been around about 2,000 years now. Hey, but don't forsake thy mother when she's old. Amen. She's still got the same heart toward you. Still got the same spirit toward you. Still got the same mind toward you. So don't forsake her when she is old. All right. They said, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. You know what that means? You know what that means? He's talking about the Jerusalem from above. No, verse 26. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. You know what that means? There's a time when she was barren. There was a time when there was no worship. Ah. Hey, he is talking about, you go back to Isaiah 54, there's no doubt. There was a time when she is barren. Hey, we heard it. The Father come to seek what? The true worship. Why? Because there was a barrenness in heaven. Now, you can interpret it any way you want to interpret, but it's right there. Hey, you go back to Isaiah 54. It's just right there. There was a barrenness. Hey, what do you mean a barrenness? There was no cry of the children. There was no worship, so to speak. If I can use that term at all. Now you can just do whatever. But rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we brethren as Isaac was are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son.
For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, don't be entangled again with that covenant again now. Don't entangle yourself again with that covenant. That covenant, God made it a yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
Amen. You entangle yourself with it, you will come into bondage. It will bring you into, God ordained it. It'll bring you into bondage now. It'll bring you. There's no doubt about it. I've watched it, people. I've watched many people get entangled in that thing, and they come into a bondage. It locks their mind, their heart, their spirit, and before long they cannot worship God. They cannot worship God in spirit. They cannot rejoice in Christ Jesus. They are so into the flesh and the things of the flesh, they mind earthly things, and they lose that spiritual life and strength and power. I've watched it. I've watched it too many times. Here, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Then verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. It's just as clear as can be. If the person said, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be justified by that, he's just fallen from grace. He has failed of the grace of God. He has sold his birthright. Amen. And he'll be like Esau. He can weep. He can mourn. He'll be rejected. Amen. And the Bible says we are come to a city of the living God. Amen. We got a covenant that is better. And the Lord swear.
Amen.
And the Lord swear. And will not repent. Thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 and 3 what that seed is. That seed is Christ. Amen. And that power is the gospel. And the promise of the gospel is the power of the Holy Spirit pouring out. That's what it is. Amen. The Lord, by two immutable things. We got two immutable. There ain't nothing going to change him nowhere. I know, I'm going to give an example of somebody who tried to change him for a while. Amen. And he hit such a rock. Amen. He hit something so hard. Amen. Hey, you want to talk about prophet's head being hard? There's something even harder than that. It's about the second hardest thing, though. But there's one thing that's even harder than that.
Amen.
Oh, yes, there is. You ever studied the hardness of substance? I studied it out a little bit. They got a Mohs scale. All right, and there's one thing that's the hardest of all. And then there's another thing that's a little bit less than that, but it's harder than every other thing. And I'm going to get into something. All right, turn with Galatians chapter, Acts chapter 15. You know, Paul finally said, You know, when you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Yeah, that's right. If you go around, if you say somebody, you're a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. If they're not a fool, you're in trouble. Now, if you identify them right, you're okay. That's right. Well, why? Because when you call somebody foolish, you're saying you're reprobate. When you ordain and say, that man is totally a fool, period, given over, he's a fool, he's reprobate. You've done to seal his judgment, period, complete. And God made a dramatic statement when he was talking about the Galatians. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. And as he said, you're right where you're just about reprobate, and you don't even know what's going on. He says, who hath bewitched you? What kind of sorcery spirit trying to work in your mind and heart that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. When you seek to go back and reject what Jesus Christ has brought, amen, you are at the height of rebellion. You are full of disobedience. The Bible talks about it. I'm going to get into it. That the Bible uses the word subversion. You know what subversion is? Subversion is rebellion that starts underneath. Now, I've dealt with some subversion. I've been in places where God showed me subversion. God revealed to me subversion. I told you about that one pastor. God told me what was going on. Amen. I dealt with it and God turned that whole thing around. But there was actually a conspiracy against the church. And God revealed it by the Holy Ghost. The fear of God hit the place and God turned the thing around. Usually don't happen that way, people. Saw it too much. Usually it splits up. Amen. It's the same thing when you're dealing with stuff like witchcraft. You got to be careful. Usually witchcraft splits things. Amen. Usually divides things. Got to be dealt with a precise way. There's a specific way. Amen. You got to have the mind of God. You got to be right in that general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Amen. You got to have the counsel of God. That's right. That's exactly right. Amen. And so I want to turn to Acts chapter 15. And I want to read this whole account here. Alrighty. Acts 15. Thank God that we have a great high priest. I'm happy because he's my high priest. I would be in bad shape if he wasn't. Many times he has set forth the scepter and sprinkled me. You know, we have an altar. You know what else is on that altar? You know what else is on that altar? There's a gold. There ain't no brazen altar up there now. In other words, if you can't get what you need from Jesus Christ, you forget about it. There ain't no other way. There is no more sacrifice for sin. Amen. There's a golden altar up there. You know what else is on that golden altar? There's some live coals. Hey, but I want to read you what just one of those live coals can do for you. Listen up. Then said I, this is the man that saw the Lord high and lifted up. Saw his train that filled the temple. Amen. Saw him on his throne. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That was me. Just when, before I knew God, when I heard that repentance, that was me. When I said, whoa, I am unclean and filthy. And yet the Lord came to me. Amen. And all I knew is to cry out, I'm unclean. And then flew one of the seraphims to an innumerable company of angels. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Amen. And so on that altar, there's some live coals. The Bible says all manner of sin and blasphemy. Every time you blaspheme, it's from your mouth. There's still a live coal that you can take from off that altar. Amen. And when it touches your lips, it'll purge away your iniquity. It'll purge away your sin. He had by himself purged our sins. We have a great high priest. We have a golden altar. Amen. We have an apostle. Amen. You know, I started out with, literally last night, with consider not only the high priest, but the apostle. Amen. Consider the apostle. You know why God sends apostles? The purpose for apostles is establishing new covenants. When God changes from one covenant to another, he warns and he begins to do it with prophets, but the ones that set down the doctrine of that covenant are the apostles. There's just no doubt about it. That's why the Bible talks about the apostles' doctrine. And Jesus was the chief apostle. And we heard about it today, didn't we? Hey, Pharaoh said, hey, Joseph, his word is my law. And God the Father said of Jesus Christ the Son, his word is my law. Amen. You will hear the words of his lips and you will live. Amen. And that's the law of God. It is the word of Jesus Christ. It is his law for his people. Amen. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews said, hey, you remember him that spoke down there, but don't forget him how he speaks in his son today. Because if you rejected what he said back there, then you're really going to be in trouble. How much sorer punishment. That was the man saying, lest the worst thing come. How much sorer punishment. And he tells it. He says, you'll be Esau. You'll be Esau. Amen. And it'll be over. Hey, there's no more sacrifice, people. Amen. There is none. Somebody say, well, you can go out and do just anything. Yeah, I can go out and do just anything God's Spirit tells me to do. I like the testimony of the lady who couldn't give up dancing. Who said, Brother Starr, you gonna give that one? Okay. I like that. Amen. She said, I can't give up dancing. He said, you get saved, you can do all the dancing you want to do. Oh, she got saved, she just didn't want to dance no more, as far as in the world.
Amen.
I just don't want to do no evil.
No. No.
Amen. I love righteousness and hate iniquity. Everyone that born of the Spirit, they love righteousness. They love righteousness. It is our delight. It is the joy to do right. It's not that we have to, we want to. It's a passion in our heart. It's a consuming desire. We delight in the law of God after the inward man. We delight in the Spirit of life. Amen. We're not looking for no excuse for sin. We're not looking for no excuse to do whatever. We're looking for every excuse to do His will, His purpose. Walk in the Spirit. Live pure, live clean, live holy. Amen. That's our desire. It's our desire. You know God. Lord. You know, if you'll actually study back, and I'm not going to get into it today, but if you'll study back, when God spoke from the mount, it says that, you know what His desire was? You know what His desire was? His desire was that word would penetrate into their heart and into their spirit. And afterward, because it didn't, He had to write it on stone. And Paul said that ministration that was written in stone was the ministration of death. God wanted to write it on their heart. And they refused. But thanks be to God that in this covenant, He's taken care of our heart. He's crumbled and broken it. And now He can write it on our heart. Amen. And we can say, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight. Amen. But there is a vast, vast difference between the Ten Commandments and the other things that are written in the book of the law. There is a vast. Paul make it clear. Amen. He called one spiritual and the other one he called carnal ordinances. No doubt about it. Amen. And any spirit-filled person can feel. Amen. When you feel them 10, you just know them 10. They're just right. They're just something that said, oh, I want to do it. I desire. You can feel it. It's just there. It's just there spiritual. See, God had those long before Moses ever came around. He had them long before Jacob. They're back down in the time of Abraham. Amen. It was always wrong to kill. It was always wrong to steal. It was always wrong to commit adultery. Amen. It was way on back there. Hey, come on. The Sabbath was back there in the beginning of the creation. It was way on back down there. And you look at the other things. God specifically says, hey, you're going to do these when you come into the land. The only thing, I'm in a different land now. Here's what the Bible said. The priesthood being changed. There is made a necessity, a change also of the law. You see, I am raised up. And I am made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And since He is a great high priest that is perfecting the spirits of men, He has made a change to accomplish His purpose, the eternal purpose which He had hidden from the foundation of the world. And then began to be revealed by His apostles and prophets at the time of Jesus Christ. A wonderful revelation it is. Amen. Paul said, hey, I didn't learn this by man. And I want to, Acts chapter 15. We have life through Him. Acts 15. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's quite a charge. Somebody told me that, I just tell them, go fly a kite. No qualms about it. Fly a kite. Take your hike. Amen. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. Verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now this is the matter. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Right there. That matter. That command to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. That was the matter. They said, we're going to take this thing up. Amen. Hey, there's a time when brethren come together to take up a matter. Amen. There's a time where you get the ministering brethren together and you take up a matter. And then what seems good to the brethren and to the Holy Ghost. And you know when you know it's the Holy Ghost? When you find that perfect witness in the Spirit. Amen. And all the brethren of one mind, you know you've got the Holy Ghost working there. When you got spiritual, you know you got the Holy Ghost working there. When you got spiritual brethren who desires purity and righteousness and truth. And then you've got that witness of the Spirit. Amen. Finally, they say, hey, well, we come up with the Holy Ghost. And the reason being, you can see three or four of them gave exactly what they felt was it. Amen. And they knew it, meshed and agreed together, and the Spirit of God bared witness with it. And they go on down. So they're considering this matter. The matter is that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, amen, Peter rose up and said unto them, now watch what happens. At first they were disputing, but watch what happens. Watch how it changes. It definitely changes. Peter rose up and said unto men and brethren, ye know how the good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them God now. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? Ooh. What Peter said is, hey, you dudes are tempting God. You're looking the apostle and high priest of this profession right in the face and saying, your work's not good enough. He said, you're tempting God, people. That's what he said. Now, let's go on down. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke? Remember, what did Paul say that yoke was in Galatians? Amen. Exactly right. He talked about that covenant that was brought. Amen. It was a yoke of bond. He said, don't be entangled with it again now. Why to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Some say, oh, they were able to bear it. No, Jesus said, hey, none of you keep it. They hated him for that, boy. Amen. Amen. Oh, come on. Here was all the self-righteous, just dressed up like a beautiful whited sepulcher, looking all perfect in righteousness. Amen. He's saying, we are blameless by the law. And he's saying, no. Amen. They gnashed on him. They hated him. Yes, they did. Hey, the most diabolical spirit on the face of the earth is a religious spirit. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Amen. Hey, come on. They gnashed on Stephen. Hey, he accused him of the same thing. He said, you received this dispensation by dispensation of angels, and you have not kept it. And they were, amen. You know why? Because God knoweth the hearts. Because God knoweth the hearts. Yes, he does. He knows the hearts. Amen. Then he goes on. But we believe, verse 11, that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how that Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now I like this next verse, verse 18. I like this. This is a good scripture. Known unto God are all his works, from the beginning of the world. You see what would begin to happen? These guys were realizing, hey, this thing that is happening is nothing new to God. Amen. This doesn't surprise God. It's new to us. It's a surprise to us. But as they began to look at some of the prophecies and what was written, amen, what was testified, amen, they realized, hey, this has always been in God's heart. God has always, I've always said God has always wanted a spiritual people. Always. He has always wanted children. Spiritual children. Adam was made as the Son of God. And in his perfect state back then, he was a spiritual child of God. He was a, yes, he was. He was after the image of God. Amen. God has always wanted. And they said, hey, you know, this may have been hidden from us, but this ain't been hidden from God. It's just now being revealed. But hey, God has known this from the very, very beginning. You know what's going on now? It's dealing almost in the same realm. We're about ready to hit into another dispensation. Hey, come on, the millennials, another dispensation. Hey, once this age closed down, the millennial starts, hey, there may be laws and statutes and a whole bunch of other things that we've never, ever seen before. And God will say, I'm going to start a new. Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, but you see what's going on with the church world today? They become religious today. It's just like Israel at its time. They've got their bylaws and their church laws and this and that and the other thing. And they have no idea that this dispensation is just about ready to wrap up. They have no idea what God is doing. They're so wrapped up in their religiosity. And if you try and tell them they're evil, you forget about it. They're going to gnash on you. They're going to hate you. Amen. That's exactly right. Same thing. Verse 19. Wherefore? My sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Now they say, we're going to pull these four things out, and we're going to tell them to do these four things. And the reason being, because there's a spiritual foundation behind those four things. And I'm not going to get into it. If you study the scripture, there's a reason for it. Amen. There is a spiritual foundation beside those four things. And I'm not going to get into it right now. All righty. He said, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased that the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Namely, Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greeting unto the church which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. We gave no. If they tell you this comes from the apostles of the New Testament, the New Covenant, we say no. If they say this comes from the elders, we say no. We gave no such commandment. They're doing it by their vainly puffed up mind. Amen. Amen. We gave no such commandment. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good, thank you, brother, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. And that's what they wrote. And that's what they said. This is what the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is what? See, It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden. Oh, there's a little burden, but it's light. Just a light burden. Just these necessary things. Just these necessary things. Amen. Absolutely. All of God's works are known to him from the beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's why Paul withstood Peter. Hey, the issue was the gospel. Hey, I got scripture after scripture. I'm not going to have time to get into it. But, hey, in the New Testament, everything is judged by the gospel. Everything's judged by the gospel. Hey, when Paul withstood Peter, he said, you know why I withstood him? Because he walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Paul talked about if there be any doctrine contrary to the gospel. And I can go on and on. There's scripture after scripture. That's the judgment. That's the judgment. Why? Why? Because remember, we got a great high priest. Remember the apostle of our profession. Hey, remember, Christ is the head of man. But who is the head of Christ? God. Amen. But Christ is second in command. And according to his word, as the apostle and high priest of a new covenant, according to his word, is the law. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, Jesus made it clear about his word. He made no doubt. That's why they hated him. Don't you understand why they hated him? They knew what he was doing. They had just a little idea of what was coming down. Those religious leaders knew that this guy is planning on tearing down what we got here. Oh, yeah, God rent that veil in the temple. Yeah, God did it. God did it. Yeah, God left that house desolate. Yeah, God did. God moved that army to come in there and make Jerusalem desolate. Yeah, Paul said this thing is waxing old and it's about ready to vanish away. Amen. And when they finally took it away, I mean, you didn't find nothing around it for about 2,000 years. God, hey, they wiped it clean. And if you go back and read what they did to Jerusalem, hey, they wiped that thing down. Amen. They plowed it and they threw it. Yes, they did. And for centuries, nobody was there. It was just a spot in the midst of a place. You go back after the revolt in 135 or 160, the final one, 167, they finally just flat leveled out the city. Amen. And just made it a place not inhabited for a while. Yes, they did. You go back and study history. You go on back. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. See, the Lord is, he's building a temple now. Oh, a precious temple. Oh, it's a beautiful temple. It's a wonderful work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. How he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he is the chief corner. Do you see what Paul was saying? He's saying, hey, I'm the wise master builder. He says, hey, I am the one that has the blueprint for this New Testament building, temple, church. And Paul had it, no doubt about it. He had the blueprint. God gave him the perfect blueprint. Amen. Amen. And that's what the apostle's doctrine is. It's the blueprint. This is how it must be built and function. Amen. And the old prophets come along. Amen. And they look at the blueprint and they pull out the plumb line. And they say, hang on a minute. It's an inch off. Amen. Tear it down. Move it over an inch. Yeah, that's right. Ezekiel had a plumb line on Jeremiah. That's right. They're the inspectors. They come on back. They look around and they say, hang on a minute. Ah, it's got to be an inch higher. Go back. Build it again. An inch higher. This has got to be perfect. It's got to be right. This has got to be 100% pure. Why? Because we are building a temple that the Almighty God's going to live in. Amen. And he's not going to dwell in anything that's imperfect. That's right. They're the plumb line. They are the inspectors. Hey, you ever seen on building project? You got the architect. But then you got the, how do they call it? The building superintendent. And you got the foreman. Amen. That's right. The prophets, they're like the superintendent. Amen. That's right. Amen. Everybody sighs relief when the superintendent leaves. Amen. Because he's always looking for something out of line. Because that's his job. He got a plumb line and he plumbed the line. That's right. That's right. And then you get the teachers. And they go around and say, hey, now this is how you need to mix this. And they get into some of the finer details of the work. That's right. They get some of the details. You know, how do we do that? Well, this is how you do this. You mix three parts of cement with two of sand, throw in a little lime, and it'll be just right. It's the right mixture. That's right. Amen. And then you get the evangelists there encouraging, strengthening, constantly encouraging, refreshing, encouraging the brother. Amen. And believe it or not, you know what the pastors are more than anything? They're like a guard. Hey, we've never realized, but in a certain sense, the pastors are like a guard. I've watched true pastors. True pastors pick up very quickly. They pick up very quickly. They're always watching. They're always watching the perimeter. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Yes, they are. They are shepherds. They're watching. They are like the guards. Amen. They're checking everybody. Somebody said, well, doesn't the prophet do that? Yeah, the prophets do that. And anybody other, but remember, sometimes the prophets be. He's got a job to do. Sometimes the teacher mixes. Hey, but hey, come on! But the shepherds—they are actually the guard. They're actually really supposed to be watching over the flock by night. Yes, they are. Amen. Amen. They're gonna check your papers. You go come on the building site. Hey, I guarantee you, anywhere I've gone, amen. The pastors always check me out, brother, and I bless him for it. Because I said, brother, if you're a true shepherd of God, amen. I ain't got no problem. Amen. My papers are right in order. Amen. I come down from the apostle. Amen. And the high priest of our profession. I come down. Amen. And it's just right there. You can check out my papers. You can check me out. You just let me on in. I need to help you out just on this little corner right here. Needs a little bit of work. But that's what they're like. Amen. Amen. Hey. Hey, you read in the book of Revelation. He talked to him about it. He talked about, hey, those ones in the church. He says, you have judged apostles. You know who judged him, don't you? He was the shepherds. Yes, sir. Hey, somebody coming through their flock? Hey, I guarantee you, if I was your shepherd, ain't no doubt about it. Hey, the Bible gives them sort of watch over the flock. Yes, sir, there is a difference. There's just no doubt about it. There's a purpose. God, hey, this building's perfect. Amen. And the building site is secure by God. Why? Because he don't want no wolf coming in there just putting in a little bit of something. Hey man, this building got to be perfect, 100% pure. Hey man, you know why the buildings are crumbling and the bridges are crumbling around America today? You know why? Because they're finding out on a lot of jobs they were shoddy. Amen. And what happened is they brought concrete that was inferior. Why? Because the mob was involved and the gangsters were mobbed and they were cutting it short. Why? And they were pocketing more and more cash. And now they're just crumbling. And God's work ain't going to crumble. Amen. It's just not going to crumble. Amen. This building is going to be 100% pure. It's going to be right and it's going to stand. And when the gates of hell are opened against it, they are not going to prevail. The church of God is going to stand. Now, I want you to turn with me. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Amen. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. Verse number 10. I want to mention about that harder thing. I lay in Zion a precious cornerstone. That's Jesus Christ. He's the diamond. There's no harder substance than a diamond. There isn't anything. A diamond is the hardest substance known to man that we know of. And so Jesus is that diamond, that cornerstone. That's exactly right. He's that cornerstone. And anything that tries to hit against that diamond and break that diamond or cut that diamond, forget about it. Hey, one of the most religious, zealous men that ever lived on the face of the earth said, I'm going to take that diamond off. And finally that diamond said, hey, Paul, it is hard. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. Do you realize that before Paul was saved, he was a terror? He was flat out a terror. I'm going to read a scripture. You stay right there in Titus. I'm going to read a scripture Just listen to this scripture. I want to read it. John chapter number 15. Hey, it's like Brother Steph said, the government don't worry too much about it. It's the religious leaders that hate us today. They hate. They hate us. I've seen it when I travel. Amen. In different places. It's the religious leaders sometimes they hate. And John, I'm going to read a scripture. You just stay in touch. I want to read a scripture. Listen up. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, anybody who hates you hates me first. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. You know why? Amen. The Bible says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And so when Jesus come, all these religious people, amen, that were being righteous according to the law, the righteousness, yet they were so full of hate, yet they could appear righteous to people. But when that light, that face of God, because we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when that face began to look in them eyes, began to look, amen, and known unto God are the hearts, amen, all of their sins began to be shown up in the light of His glory and grace. In the light of His countenance. And they said, hey, before I come, they was all right. Hey, but when I come, that was it. Amen. And that's the same way with Holy Ghost preachers nowadays. Church is all right until you get some Holy Ghost ministries involved and coming on in. Why? Because they begin to show things up. They begin to reveal sin and iniquity. That's exactly right. Why? Because that's the job of the Spirit of the living God. Then he said, if I had not done among them, verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father, what? Also. So if anybody hates Jesus Christ, they hate the Father. If anybody persecutes Jesus Christ, they persecute the Father. If anybody does not know Jesus Christ, they do not know the Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Amen. So when the old apostle Paul was kicking against the pricks and persecuting Jesus Christ, because he didn't know God. Amen. He was in darkness, complete and total darkness. And he mentions it too, and he makes it through. He was religious, but he was totally deceived and totally perverted and totally defiled. Completely and totally. To where he actually hated God and was fighting against God. Because Jesus said, he that hates me, he hates my Father. And Jesus Christ did not lie. Never. Amen. I'm going to show you. Paul admits it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Amen. Hey, today the religious people are there. Emphatic enemies against God. Amen. And against Jesus Christ. Just no doubt about it. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. You get some little old nobody out there somewhere. You can probably deal with them. Amen. That's right. You get some religious folk, you forget about it. Titus chapter 1 verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them own selves, even a prophet of their own, saith, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now listen, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing, what? Pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient. And to every good work reprobate. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So if somebody's unbelieving, what are they? Nothing's pure to them. Their very mind and conscience is defiled. See, there was a time where Paul was an unbeliever. And in his state of unbelieving, nothing was pure to him. His very mind and conscience were defiled. I'm going to get into it. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. He talks about everything according to the glorious gospel, verse 11 and 12. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. You're telling me a blasphemer is a good man? I ain't going to buy it. A blasphemer is an evil man. It's evil to blaspheme God. Who before was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in what? In unbelief. And an unbelieving man, what? His mind and his conscience is defiled and there is nothing pure. And there wasn't. Hey, when Paul would go in and see people lifting up their hands, praising the Lord Jesus Christ, little girls, little boys, mamas, he would rip them out from the arms of their mama. That was impure to him. Oh, he said, he hath translated us from the kingdom of darkness. He said, now that I was in darkness. Amen. I was an evil worker. I was a blasphemer. But when that light shone to me, oh, and I repented and turned. And now I've been translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. And I have remission of sins. He says it in Colossians, just that clear. He says, who before? Amen. I want to read. Who before? Who was before? Verse 30. Blasphemer, persecutor, injurious. And I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ. He knew how close he was. Hey, there's no doubt in my mind. No doubt. If God would not have saved Paul, his end was probably sure. I've watched. There are different places where if God doesn't save someone, a lot of times then he'll just cut them off. And Paul realized, no doubt, he was pretty, as he looked back at what he was doing, he said, I thank God. And then he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he wasn't just saying something just to make it. He was telling the truth. He knew what he was. Matter of fact, Titus chapter 3. Hey, come on. Before God touched me, I never did anything righteous. Oh, yeah, I may have did what considered good thing, but they really were not righteous. They were not pure. No, they weren't. Amen. I'll just totally eat. Amen. Eat. When the Lord gave me a new heart, amen, a new life, oh, thank be to God, washed my sins away. How precious. Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves, he's bearing his heart. He doesn't say you. In one place he said, for such were some of you. But now he's saying, for we. He's saying, this was what was in me. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Hey, you're not going to convince me. He was in the Pharisees. I know what is the Pharisee spirit. He was amongst them fools, those mockers and jokers and jests. And he said, we were foolish. He was right in the midst of that people. He said, I can't believe somebody that religious. Oh yeah, you go now to the religious convocations. Amen. They are filled with that spirit. Yes, it is. It's amongst the religious people that it's defiling. Yes, sir. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. Deceived. He said, I was deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You ever read what he did in the book of Acts? You ever read what he did? And Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He said, I used to be hateful. I used to be envious. Amen. He was a Pharisee. And that's what's in a Pharisee. Amen. And yet he was righteous in his own eyes at that time. See, but he was deceived. Philippians. And I'm going to, last scripture, Philippians. I want to turn to Philippians. It's the last one we're going to turn to. And then I'm just going to quote one more, but I ain't going to have you turn to it. I just want to read it. What am I saying? The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. By so much. Amen. By the very oath of Almighty God. Amen. Paul said, I advise y'all, I wouldn't tempt God. I've seen many people tempt God. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. Some say, Kirk, you talk a lot about different things. It's not grievous to me. It's not deed. Deed is not grievous. But for you it is safe. And these are the three things that God has given me to deal with more than anything else. Really have. See, everybody's got different things they deal with. Amen. They really do. Different ministers have different things they deal with. Amen. Just like Brother Sterry, he's got certain things that he deals with more than any other thing. Hey, probably the preeminent thing, the coming of Jesus Christ. And he's got other things that are the preeminent things that he deals with, that God has said, I want you always to deal with these things. Now, you have to deal with other things, but this, yeah, he does things like that. And these are about the three preeminent things that God has given me to deal with. Really are. And he says, finally, to write the same thing to you and to me indeed is not agree, but for you to say, verse 2, beware of dogs. And I deal with dogs, which are fools. Beware of evil workers. And I've dealt a lot with evil workers, especially in traveling. And that's dealing with those that have that witchcraft type of spirit. He said, beware of them. All right. And he said, beware of the concision. And that concision is those that will try to pull things back down into the flesh. Having begun in the spirit, they want to bring it back down to fleshly ordinances and fleshly things and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Amen. And I've dealt with all three continually for years and years and years. And then he says, for we are the circumcision. And he's not talking about the circumcision made with hands. He's talking about we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Amen. And we're putting off sin. Amen. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. Why? Because true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and anything else is bondage.
Amen.
Amen.
We just heard it this morning. Amen. Paul said it too. Amen. And then he goes on. We worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. The flesh profiteth. Oh, that's one of my favorite scriptures. The flesh profiteth nothing. Amen. It is the spirit that giveth life. Amen. Thank you. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. How good was that? Sitting there murdering people full of envy and hatred and foolishness and deceit. Amen. Don't you realize you could do that?
Amen.
They could appear outwardly indeed righteous and keep the carnal man commandments and ordinances and just do them all and just be so filled with hell and evil and darkness and wickedness. Finally, Paul said, you know, when I look back on these, but what things were gained? In other words, I actually thought these were gained to me. In other words, I believe these were gain. In other words, in my mind, those things were gain. But what were things were gain to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. He realized, hey, you know, it's just like when you meet somebody. Yeah, they're just nothing there. He said, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. But dung. That I may, but what? Dung. Amen. You know what happens to dung if you don't do something with it? It just keeps piling up, piling up, and it begins to stink. Hey, amen. The Bible says, he that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But of debt. Amen. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth. Ah, do you understand what was going on? Paul was building a dung pile. Amen. It started stinking more and stinking more and stinking more. And when he finally realized, he didn't realize it at the time though. You know, that there are people that live in, that just live in their own dung.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I said, I don't like that. That's all right. Hey, whoa. I'm an unclean man. I used to work in a nursing home. I saw people. They get to the place, actually, that their dung will just pile up. And they won't even know it. They literally won't even know it. They'll just live in their own dung. They'll just live in their own dung. Do you understand what was going on in the old... Now, you may not like my allegory. Okay, I'm going to use an allegory. Can I use it? Paul used an allegory. I'm going to use an allegory. All right, I'm going to use an allegory. You see, God's desire has always been to build a temple, even a spiritual house. All right. Now, he flat out built that tabernacle in the wilderness on sand, purposely. He built it on sand. Matter of fact, if you go back and study the story, when David come to want to build a house, God just about got hostile with him. Now, nobody will tell you almost like that, but God almost got hostile. He said, hey, man. Hey, where did I ever mention to anybody that I wanted a house built like that?
Right.
My ordination was this tabernacle right here built on sand. Why? See, God already detected that spirit. They're already wanting to permanentize that thing. And God never intended for it to be permanent.
No.
Hey, God's not stupid. He's a wise master builder. If he built something on the sand, it's for a reason. Yeah. It's just going to be around for a while. Until the seed should come. Until the time of reformation. That's exactly right. He's wise. All right. Amen. But this temple, when he built the second temple, and I'm talking about the temple as far as the believer in the body of Christ. Amen. He said, I'm going to set a foundation and a sure cornerstone. It's never going to be moved. And this stone is just flat out set. Nobody's going to move this stone. Nobody. Now, when you're on a major building project, I've been on a few of them, all right? You know what the first thing you bring on out? You know what the first thing? You got to take care of the dung. Hey, that's not bad. You got to take it. The first thing you see is a porta potty many times. It's brought out there. It's portable. It's something you can move. Amen. Why? Because it's got to take care of the dung for a while. It's got to take care of the uncleanness and the filth. Yeah, that's right. Don't despise it now. But understand its purpose. All righty. Amen. It's perfect. But usually when you're building any kind of building, inside the building, you're going to make a permanent disposal system that's going to take care of it. And it's going to take care of it very nice to where it won't be sightly no more and there's going to be no smell. Amen. And see, when God was building his second temple, amen, the temple, he done did took care of it. He made some nice, nice plumbing. Amen. To where there is not one smell. There is no stink. Amen. The sin question, the uncleanness, everything being taken care of by Jesus Christ. All right. See, but when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, the reason God gave them that tabernacle, if they would have just received what the Ten Commandments had said, if there had just been a heart in them to do righteousness, he wouldn't have had to do all the other stuff. That stuff was out of why to take care of all of their evil deeds and their evil works and their sin and their iniquity and their envy and their all their filth. And we don't, you know, it come to my mind. I remember, it was a couple of weeks ago. I saw old Jacob. He was emptying out the outhouse. And I saw him. And he took some of that. You don't mind if I tell you, do this, brother. Hey, I do the same thing. He took some of that grapefruit extract and he had it in his mouth. And I noticed he was gargling around or he had something in there. And before he went in to do it, I think he didn't want none of the odors or vapors to come up. I don't blame him. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And I didn't just the Lord say, you know, Kirk, you know why I finally got rid of that old company? You know what I had to do every year? No, we don't think about that. We don't think about that. But it says it. I'm going to tell you, it says it in the Bible. You know what happened every year? Every year he had to come down and sit on that seat. And every year he had to deal with that uncleanness and that filth and that sin. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He said their sins. And every year there is made a remembrance. Every year there was made a remembrance. And God had to clean that filth out every year. And he said, oh, my desire is that I would have to remember them no more. And so thank be to God, He made a way through Jesus Christ to flush out all the filth. He bore our iniquities. He bore our sins. He was wounded for our transgression. And God doesn't have to smell no more stench. Thank be to God, Jesus Christ is a sweet-smelling Savior. And thank be to God, when we offer sacrifice of praise in the Spirit, it's sweet to God. And God smells it. And He loves it. He loves it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with a porta potty now. But it does have its purpose. We heard around here about toilets. Don't despise the toilet. But my, once you got a beautiful palace built, some nice indoor plumbing, the whole shot, forget about the outhouse. It's time to cart away the porta potty. That's what Paul said in Hebrews. You can go back and read it. The allegory is there. It's just there. I'm just going to read the last scripture. I don't want you to turn. He said, hey, it's all done. But thank God it's been carried away. Hey, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with what God did back there. He was doing what's... Hey, you ever been on a job site and really had to go and there's no porta potty around? It's a terrible thing. Hey, I'm saying that the thing He did back there at that time was right. Don't get me wrong now. I'm saying He did right. Hey, I've been thank God in different places where there was a porta potty. Amen. But afterwards, once the plumbing set in, the house is finished, man, you go inside and use it. They used to pull the porta potty off. Amen. So what He did was not wrong. Amen. It's just now there is something better. There is a beautiful temple. Amen. And I'm just going to read this last one. Don't turn to it, because that was the last one I wanted you to turn to it. Nevertheless, brethren, I'm going to read. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness. I'm persuaded of that. I'm persuaded that the brethren here are full of goodness. I believe that. I believe that. Amen. We all wrestle. We all fight things in our heart and in our spirit. You know what I'm saying? We all battle. We all deal with issues. We're all hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're on different levels. Some know one thing. Some know more of another thing. Some know. But I am persuaded, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. I believe we have a lot of knowledge in this place. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Able also to admonish one another. Thank God. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. What's the last part? Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul said, that's what's going to make this offering up acceptable. Amen. Having begun in the Spirit, you must walk and live in the Spirit. And I guarantee you, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The key is just walk in the Spirit. Just we need to concentrate more on walking in the Spirit. And then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So thank be to God. Amen. We have such an high priest, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he brings forth bread and wine. And the blessing that he has to bless us with is he blesses us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and of fire. And I thank God for that fire. And I thank God for that Holy Ghost. It's precious unto me. Amen. Brother Steve. Pray.